No, that's...
Okay.
Okay. 7:30. We'll call the regular meeting of the Magna Metro Township order. Present, Brett Field, Dan Pay, Trish Hall, we have a quorum. Do you have a thought?
Yes.
Trish?
We do. Heroism doesn't always happen in a burst of glory. Sometimes small triumphs and large hearts can change the course of history. Mary Rich.
Thank you. Everybody please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Do we want to hear from the applicant before we move to open the public hearing?
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate if you would like.
Okay.
Do you want to hear from staff?
Yes. Go ahead.
Good evening. I'm staff planner Diana Martinez. This is the Ben Loeb rezone application. This is coming to you just to simplify. It did go to the Planning Commission. They recommend approval with a condition to you. Staff recommends approval. This, as the map shows in red, the C2 is currently to the north part of the front part of the parcel. The applicant wants to move all the C2 to the front, which fronts on to 8400 West, leaving the remainder of the property in the RM zone.
So you go from that to that.
So the blue striped would be the C2. Everything else would be the RM.
Where on 84 is this?
84, just below 35th.
This is the Kennecott.
To the south.
Old Kennecott headquarters.
The glass building?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
The fire trap.
Okay. What did you say, the council?
The Planning Commission recommended approval. They did put a condition that the applicant do a traffic impact study, which they have done. Our traffic engineer with Salt Lake County has reviewed it. Initially, it's fine. We're going to need to do more research into that once a conditional use comes with it. At this point, we do have a conceptual. We don't have anything that's coming before the Planning Commission yet.
But you don't need to do that for this action.
For this, we do not. This is just...
So, I mean, we don't...
It was a condition from the Planning Commission, and they did it.
And they did. So they followed up with that condition.
They did.
We don't have to put that condition on our approval.
No.
And I'm assuming that they were satisfied.
They were, yes. Okay. At least the transportation engineer was.
Okay.
So it did suffice for what they were proposing.
So she's putting all the commercial
on the C2 onto 84, correct?
Yes, it just goes back to ancient history.
Instead of on, right.
Is this the application 30878?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I move that we open the public hearing for application 30878. There's only two of us here.
We open the public hearing for application 30878.
I'm going to have to vote. I can talk, but
it's nice. Wait, it needs to be called.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Public input? Do it? Do we need that?
I
think it's pretty obvious switching it to the right place. That's where it should have been.
Why don't you stand up and just give your name to the record?
All right, I can do that. My name is Ben Loeb, I'm the applicant. We're just moving that commercial zone to where it should have been probably originally on the highway rather than going back into the lot. It's a weird angle. That's really what we're doing.
And this goes back to the original subdividing.
Yeah.
What was your name?
Ben Loeb.
He's Ben Loeb.
Well, I don't have any questions. This is a no-brainer to me. So, okay. No one else?
No one else?
Three more of you, anyway.
I'd move that we close a public hearing.
Second.
No, I got nothing to say about it.
A second. Got a motion and a second to close the public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So carried.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we accept application 30878.
Second.
In this case, the motion would be to approve.
To approve the rezone on application. Sorry. I'll restate that. I move that we accept the rezone for on application 30878, mixed use C2 commercial and RM high density residential.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Moving on. Approval minutes, possible discussion or motion to approve minutes of the previous meeting.
There weren't any.
Excuse me.
Okay, this is the time for citizens' public input. Limit to 3 minutes per person. Please come up. Name and address.
Okay.
Well, that's easy.
Let's fly.
Yes.
Report on visiting elected officials. Reports from community stakeholders. Nobody here from the chamber. Nobody from the 4th of July.
Nothing new.
Nothing new.
What's going on? We've got about 30 people signed up for the parade so far.
Good. Only 30, you say?
So far.
Are we signed up?
No.
And this is to be in the parade, right?
To be in the parade, yes.
And what did you have last year?
On average, we usually run about 70 entries.
And any idea why?
This is about what it is this time.
Oh, no, because we've got rust.
It's still early.
It's still early.
Yeah. Okay.
But we need to apply.
Yes.
We need to get in. Are we doing something? Are we?
I thought we were.
Yeah. You need to figure out what you're doing and then get in.
Do we have
we need to get us the position, get us the position in the parade.
We have to tell them.
I know.
We're going to ride unicycles.
Would you please submit an application?
The application.
You want me to submit the application?
Please do.
And we're gonna throw everybody in the back of Ren's truck.
Perfect.
Okay, that would work.
Better than unicycles.
Reports from municipal service providers. Wasatch Front? Nothing?
Nope. Nothing to report.
Chief's here.
Okay. Chief Ackerman.
Police always here.
Yeah. You guys always show up. Thank you.
So this is a quarterly report for January
through
March of this year. Apologize, it's a little delayed. It takes a minute to get some of these statistics. But I'll be bringing this to you at the end of each quarter. So this is kind of a first version. So if there's things in here that you like or that you would like to see more of, please let me know. If there's things that you don't find relevant, I'm happy to edit this. But just kind of to walk you through it a little bit, there's things in there that are relevant to the precinct itself, staffing numbers, we get into call volume, response times, and then also there's some maps in there as to the types of crimes within each of your district, and then as they're reported in for each month. I've gone back until 2017. To give you some comparative figures, we can certainly go back further. I just didn't want to flood you with a bunch of information and just raw data. But also towards the end of the packet, you'll see part of being with UPD, you contribute to the pool services that we share with all these other partners, the townships and cities. And so I've included in there calls or situations where our pool service resources have come out and where Magna has directly benefited from those services. So that's like SWAT, K-9, our major accident reconstruction unit, Metro Gangs, and then also we contribute to an officer on the DEA Metro Narcotics Task Force, and so those are in there as well. So feel free to let me know if there's things that you'd like to see or more of. But if not, plan on these every 3 months.
On the minutes to respond, is that quarter per quarter? So, I mean, we're very quick now, and I'm wondering what, is it just the data?
That's priority. You're looking at priority one, priority two, priority three calls.
So
it says 1 minute response on priority one, which you would expect.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, we triage our calls when they come into dispatch. And mind you, this is once we are notified by dispatch that call has come in. So oftentimes there's a delay of when the call comes in to the call taker at the dispatch center to it being put to the actual channel that will be broadcast out and typing the call up before we actually hear about it can be, you know, sometimes 3 to 5 minutes before it gets dispatched on our channel. So what those statistics capture is from the time that we are dispatched to the time that we are arriving on scene. And we triage those calls because from a range of a priority one all the way down to a priority 10. Priority one would be, you know, a traffic accident where people are injured, or you have like a shooting in progress, or those major, we have to get there as quickly as possible. And then they scale down to like a priority two would be like a domestic altercation or domestic fight, and down from there. So the one, two, and three is the ones where the time response is much more critical than per se like a VIN inspection, which would be far less priority, and so the response times are generally longer for those.
But that's a pretty good response time even for those priority threes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're working on right now with UPD is we're revamping our budget. We have a new CFO who has come in, and so with the departure of Harriman, with the departure of Riverton, we're trying to right-size the contributions that everybody pays into those pool services that we once had, because we've lost two partners, so that's also their contribution into those funds. And so we're really working to right size those, and it's only 1 month away from finalizing our budget. Typically right now we have a pretty good idea, but with everything that's been going on, we're still furiously working. They're actually having a special meeting with the UPD board a week from today, and then the final budget will be approved on the 20th of June. So it's a little crazy and chaotic down at the admin right now. So
this is great. This is a great report of this. I love to see this. My one question that I see just scanning through here, why do you think our general offenses were up?
So it's kind of interesting, as you look in there, our actual call for service per officer is down, and calls are down, but typically a general offense is where we are actually making a report. We get calls all the time that we, you know, somebody's suspicious walking down the road, we come through, we don't find anything suspicious, or we don't find anything, so we don't generate a case on it. So I could indicate that perhaps more crimes are being reported or more serious crimes are being reported, where we're actually having to write reports and do investigative follow-up.
Okay.
And that's
because the call per officer doesn't really correlate with this.
Correct. But we've increased officers too. So we have added some officers that would alleviate some of the pressure of those calls that are coming in. But as populations grow, it's normal to see those calls, you know, increase as well over the years.
And are you hiring for those two open positions?
So actually, the next one that you get will look quite a bit different. So as of Saturday or Sunday, we have now absorbed all of the officers who patrolled Copperton and the Southwest areas that were unincorporated. So MACA precinct now geographically is the largest precinct in the entire UPD. We touch three of the borders of the county.
Yeah.
From the south up to the north and then the whole west side. So, yes, we're actually over-allocated right now because of trying to absorb what Riverton is not taking. Riverton only hired four officers and then their chief from UPD and from a 30-plus man department. So we're trying to fill holes that we had with those extra officers, but that's left us a little bit heavy. And so that's kind of the decision of the UPD board, if they're going to incentivize people to retire, if they're going to carry those positions, or if they're going to, what we call a RIF, a reduction in force, mm-hmm. of have to lay people off. We were a little bit heavy, but because of retirements, we've been able to get to much more reasonable numbers. So at present, we have one extra officer than we're allocated for out here in Magna, and it's currently just being funded through the chief's budget to absorb that. So you'll see an increase in officers that are working the Magna precinct. We've actually dedicated five officers to patrol those areas. But because of the what they are contributing financially to our precinct comparative to what Magna Precinct is, we're not subsidizing those communities with our officers. Those five officers will spend about 60% of their time working in those Southwest and Copperton communities, and then 40% of their time will be here patrolling in Magna.
That's nice.
But it's definitely an adventure, and geographically, it's a lot of area to cover.
Yeah.
So,
that's old sheriff duties right there.
Yep.
Why didn't Harriman take that southwest portion?
I can only speculate. I don't think there's much money.
So they didn't want it.
Yeah. And just every time you see in the news in the past, 10 years, every time Harriman catches on fire. That's actually our area. It's not Harriman.
You have Butterfield Canyon.
Yeah, all of Butterfield and Yellow Fork and all that, those hills, that whole area are all incorporated.
Chief, the sergeants that we share with Kearns, that's not all of them, right? There's some dedicated to the Magna Precinct. But there's a handful or a couple of those six sergeants that are still working both precincts.
Correct. So what we have is we have five patrol shifts, each with a patrol sergeant. And so we share those sergeants. So they supervise half of their crew is from Kearns, half of their crew is from Magna. And then we also share our direct enforcement unit sergeant. We share that because we have two Magna detectives and two Kearns detectives that belong to that. And so, like tonight, they're serving a search warrant for the Kearns detectives, and then we have one later this week that they're going to come out and help.
They'll all come out and do.
But we do have a dedicated detective sergeant here, Sergeant Mike Hill, who I know you've all met.
Yeah.
And he is specifically assigned to supervise detectives who work here and work only Magna cases.
Good.
Thank you.
It's a great report.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Okay, nobody from UFA. April 2019 UFA.
You received that in your an email about 2 weeks ago.
Yep. Non-disclosure of private business interests. None. Council business. Council report. Did you have anything, Trent?
Nope.
Trish?
Yeah, so last Tuesday we had our strategic plan open house. We had 20, 25 people come, some filtered in at the end. A lot of good comments. Bill Gray is collating all those into a report for us. I think it went well. Greg was there and helped facilitate it, and we had that was interesting. I think we got some really good comments and some people volunteering, so I think we're in a good situation there. With the CTC coalition, it's not official yet, and so maybe I shouldn't put it on the record, but it's looking very good that we will get funding for a full-time coordinator and we can begin moving forward, and in probably in the neighborhood of $75,000 to $100,000. And so we'll be able to get that full-time coordinator and get the CTC coalition moving forward
Do you remember what that is? Mm-hmm. Is the carrots for prevention of drug and alcohol
right.
abuse
yeah.
among our youth, dropout rate,
education, and everything
teen pregnancy,
else
delinquency,
yeah.
all those factors. And the state of Utah highly recommends this for communities and highly supports it, and so they're willing to chip in a good chunk of change for it. And so we are well on our way there.
Good.
Okay. MSD, we're just trying to get a contract with planning and zoning so we can bring those employees over work for the MSD. That's been a long, drawn-out process. We've got another meeting Friday. Hopefully we'll get it.
Have a resolution then.
Yeah, put in by then. Okay, Paul, resolution 19-05-02, resolution of the Magna Metro Township Council approving and adopting the Magna Physical Procedure.
Yes, go.
Yeah, the reason we're doing this resolution, it's in the part of your packet, is as we move more money into the administrative budget from the MSD budget, we want to put in place the fiscal controls in place that you can pay your bills, etc. It's right now the MSD is handling most of that, and Kathy from the MSD is doing an outstanding job, but better to be prepared and have something in place in case we need to move to it. And in looking at the policies that we have for Magna, we realized this was one that we probably needed to go ahead and get approved at this point in time.
Any questions?
I move we approve resolution 190502, Magna Metro Township fiscal procedures and policies.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve resolution 190502, resolution of the Magna Metro Township Council approving and adopting Magna's fiscal
fiscal.
Yes. Money.
Yeah, money.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can I ask you a quick question about that?
Yes.
So with the CTC Coalition, can the township be the backbone organization and hire that individual or the MSD using their benefits package?
We need to take a look at your grant applications to see if you set it up as an independent committee. So like we have the other redevelopment agency.
The other redevelopment agency.
That we have to run sort of as a separate little entity and keep its fundings separate. But we can work that out.
Is
there a cap on that grant money? I mean, like 5 years, 10 years,
so,
15 years, whatever?
So there's probably 2, maybe 3 years right now. During that time, our intent is then to apply for the drug-free community grant, which is from the federal government, which is $125,000 a year now for 5 years with an extension for five, so that's 10 years. And so I'll just tell you up front, somewhere along the line here, I would like to get a line item into our budget, so once all the grants run out, it is a sustained effort. Because you can't just do prevention 1 year, you know? You can't, okay, these kindergartners are all trained, they're going to be great now. No, this is an ongoing, long-term, permanent solution to a problem. The communities that care needs to stay going. It's not a one-shot deal. And so I'd like to see it eventually into our budget where once all the grants run out, we are still funding the program and some to be funded.
Roughly, what do you figure cost to plan it?
As a clarification, one of the two items that we were trying to get on here, this was one of two. The second one was actually the HR, would have been Human Resource Policies and Procedures item. And the reason it didn't make it was because I couldn't type that fast and make that many corrections to a boilerplate to get it ready. So it didn't make it to this particular meeting, but again, with some of the things that have happened recently, like with the DA and other things, having a fallback position for the council is really there, just like this one. It's there as a fallback.
in case something gets really weird and we need to move quick.
I think at this point you asked how much.
Do these need to be done separately?
$220,000 a year.
These aren't hearings. These are just setting hearings.
No, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I think we still set them since it's in public individually.
Individually.
Yeah, but I'll explain all three and then maybe you can do them.
Okay.
But that's up to when the mayor gets to it.
Okay. Item 16-1.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, if it's okay with you, I'll explain what the three ordinances are, and then we can set those for public hearing. These are amendments in the Code of Ordinances for Magna. As you know, we adopted and used the county ordinances, but as we are slowly going through them to make them our own and make the changes. So the first one, ordinance number 19-05-01, is actually going to repeal the Magna ordinance, which dealt with the flood control and water quality, and instead we will adopt and approve by this the county ordinance, because they have the responsibility for flood control. The county does. There's no reason to have it separate in our books. Instead, what we'll do is we'll put it, the adoption of the county one, and a link to the county code, and that way we don't have to change it each and every time the county changes theirs.
Why did they have the authority of that?
That state law, they basically control flood control because it's paid out of the general fund. The MSD handles all the storm waters. Right. And so that messing, is important to understand.
Yes.
But the flood control is county.
It's because of the funding. Is the only reason that they have it.
Well, and as an enhancement, part of this, what created the genesis of this move was was Crystal's GIS piece. Now, in going through the review to start doing the amendments to the Muni code to come forward in a meeting for adoption, one of the things that I ran into almost immediately was, if you're using the county flood control, is a line item that says if you're using the county flood control engineer as your flood control engineer, you're supposed to use the county ordinance to conduct your business. And since we are doing that, it made sense to go ahead and do that. And by doing this, we also address her concerns on that particular title for GIS,
which is item 16.3. Which is ordinance 19-05-03, which is updating ordinances to require GIS data be given to us for subdivisions and other things. These are data that the developers already have, and we just want to make sure they get into the hands of the staff so that we can put them as part of our mapping process. And then the other one we skipped was 19-05-02, which is what we talked about at the last meeting, which is where we have a newer road in place or a new overlay that if someone's going to excavate into that road, they have to put so much asphalt down.
Right.
Recall, I did declare a conflict of interest on that one as a water guy.
Great. Now, down there on 8,000, down close to 201, they've cut across that road, and they only patched it back 2 foot wide.
Is it too, didn't have ordinance in place?
Or didn't have an ordinance, but we could get them to throw it bigger. That's part of the reason. That's part of the
That's not going to happen now.
It will depend. Now, what you have to understand, for water districts especially, is they have the right to go in and cut the road. But you can dictate how much they repair afterwards.
Right, that's what we're doing.
Which increases the cost, which is passed on.
But we missed our window, right?
But that's on that particular one.
We're going forward as things are going forward.
That's why we're making these changes as we see them.
And the one up there on 35th, I thought they did a nice job on that.
Yeah, considering, they almost ended up with the world's largest crater from when. By the time they figured out that they had a leak, it had done some substantial damage underneath. So
those are the three ordinances that we need to set up.
So, Mr. Mayor, I move that we set ordinance 19-05-01, ordinance 19-05-02, and Ordinance 19-0503 for public hearing on June 11th, 2019.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to move the three ordinances to be set on public hearing on June 11th, 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carry. Okay.
We need a public hearing for a planning and zoning matter.
I move we set a public hearing on June 11th, 2019 for application 30922.
At 7:30.
At 7:30.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to set application 30922 to be set for a public hearing on June 11th, 2019, 7:30 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So
carried. I'll move to adjourn.
Here, I'll take this.
Measure to measure.
I'll take this.
Motion to adjourn is a non-debatable motion. So, stand adjourned.